15 minutes, 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here. Today I present an interview that I went all the way to Ohio to do many years ago. This may be the first recorded crash recovery in the United States, at least the ones that we know of, happened during the Roosevelt administration. It happened connected to Cordell Hull, who won the Nobel Prize for Peace, was the longest serving Secretary of State in the U.S. history. Under Roosevelt. He resigned in 1944, so we know for a fact that this event that the interview talks about took place before 1944. The interview was done with Lucille Andrew, who wrote a letter to QFOS, the Center for UFO Studies in Chicago, detailing a story that her father had told her. The father was Turner Holt, and he was the minister of the Shenandoah Christian Church in Greenville, Ohio. And she stated that her father had told her and her sister, Aileen Holt Gramley, a story about being shown bodies and a craft in Washington during an event by a cousin of his, who was Cordell Hull. Now, the letter that they referred to when I interviewed them, it didn't appear that letter was really talking about the crash. That was in the 1930s. But it did talk about him being in Washington. But the event definitely took place before 1944. And you'll hear the two sisters. I got them in about 2009. And Lucille, I think, actually died shortly after the interview took place. So they both record what happened. And it's an interesting story in that they described the sub-basement of the Capitol as to where this event took place, that their father had been taken by Cordell Hull to the sub-basement of the Capitol and shown creatures that were in glass jars and a very light metallic craft that was you're able to lift up with one hand. The interesting thing about the sub-basement is, if you know the story of Jesse Marcel Jr., that he told at the citizens' hearing, he told about being taken to the sub-basement of the Capitol, exactly the same area. And this was just before he died by a guy by the name of Dick D'Amato, who was the chief investigator lawyer for the Senate Appropriations Committee. And the Senate Appropriations Committee had is tasked with providing all the money for the various programs. And when they heard that the Area 51 story breaking, they wondered if there was such a thing as crash saucer recoveries and testing, because if there was, they didn't know about it. They sent Dick D'Amato to Area 51 to find out whether this was actually going on. Dick D'Amato did conclude that, yes, there was a secret group that had control of the hardware, and that his only job, as he told Jesse Marcel Jr., was to determine how much the security was costing. But that meeting took place between Jesse Marcel and Dick D'Amato in the sub-basement, where they now, at that point, had a giant conference room. So, very interesting meeting. From what you'll hear in the interview, Aileen tells me that she's pretty sure that the story was told to her, I believe, in 1948 by her father, because her daughter, who was Margaret Gramley, was 2 years old at the time, and that the father had come out and told her the story. So this story goes back right to the beginning, and it definitely happens before 1944, because it involves Cordell Hull, who was not in government after 1944. So this is an interesting interview. Enjoy it, and it's a pretty historic interview.
By all means, because I'm going to have to go. Yeah, I have an appointment.
Okay, anytime you're ready.
Okay. I'm Aline Holt Gramley, and my father was the Reverend Turner Holt. And he came to visit me one day in around about 1948. I know that because that was when my oldest daughter was a toddler. And we were watching her play, and we were talking, and he said, you know, there's something I want to tell you. He said, I think that someone in my family should know about this besides me. And I was sworn to secrecy by my cousin Cordell Hull, who was Secretary of State under Roosevelt. And he said, I just feel that I should tell you so that someone in the family would know. And so he told me about going to Washington for a conference, I think it was called, and of ministers of all denominations from all over the country. And he was a representative from this area, and why he was chosen is probably because Cordell Hull put his name in the box, because wouldn't be very likely that anyone in Washington would have picked a preacher from a little town like Shenandoah. And so while he was there, I'm not sure how they got together, but he and his cousin Cordell Hull, I think it was third or fourth cousin,
something like that, yeah. but related,
yeah,
through the Riley family.
Yeah, and he got together with him at the State Capitol building. That's where Cordell wanted him to be. I don't know if they went to lunch first or if they just met there. And Cordell said that he wanted to show him something. And he said, but you have to swear that you'll never, ever tell anybody. And so Dad did. And so they started down, down, down in the building. And finally, my dad said, where are we going anyway? And Cordell said, well, you'll see. And they went down through the regular basement into a sub-basement. And
so it was in the Capitol building.
In the Capitol building. And so anyway, when they got down there, why, there was kind of a long hallway they went through that was lighted, but nothing off to the side in any rooms were lighted. And so when they got to where they were going, my Cordell opened the door, and he reached in and switched on the light, and he said, now this is something really strange that is down here. And there were, I don't recall whether it was three or four, but there was these large jugs, that glass jugs that were on some kind of a stand that had these little people in them. And he said, well, they were like people, but they weren't. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, they had all the same things that we have, but he said, well, instead, it seemed to me like their heads were a little too large for their body, and their eyes were shut, but I think their eyes were bigger than ours. And I said, well, how tall were they? And he said, oh, I don't really know. And I said, well, 6 feet? Oh, no. So we kind of went back and forth on how tall they were, and finally settled on about 4 foot tall. And so then Cordell Hull called his attention to some kind of a machine that he said with a flying machine of some sort. And Dad said, well, it doesn't have wings. And this is, of course, about right around 1935. And
excuse me, wasn't it wrecked? Wasn't the machine?
Yeah, it was in pieces.
A wreck.
And Dad said that there was really, really pretty shiny, like silver, but he said it wasn't anything that he'd ever seen before. So he couldn't say what kind of material it was. And so Credo said, yeah, but just lift this. And Dad said, that looks heavy. And so Carter went with his fingers on the edge of it, and it was very lightweight. And so they talked about that a little bit. As far as I know, Cordell didn't explain anything to him. He just wanted him to see it. And then they left, and that was what Dad told me. And I don't recall that he said ever said anything again about it. And I didn't ask him anything. Looking back on it, I don't know why, but I didn't.
And when did you hear the story?
It was around 1948, because that was when Eloise was
Lucille, when did you first hear?
Okay.
When did you hear the story? Did you tell you about the same time?
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't remember when it was. I was young.
Uh-huh.
And she's told it just the way it is.
And he approached you with the same thing, that this is a story that somebody should know?
He thought somebody eventually should know about this, about the creatures he saw. Now, I remember his saying, three glass jars. He referred to them as creatures in them. He didn't say people or animals. He said creatures that he had never seen before.
And he only told you the story one time?
Oh, yes, only once. Yeah, and because I think he sort of had a guilty conscience that he had promised not to tell, but as time went on, he realized that somebody should know about this. You know. And at the time, there was a sub-basement in the Capitol building, we have found out since.
Yeah.
And now it's something else. Railroads down there or something else.
I think it's a bomb shelter or something for the people in the Senate and Congress.
Okay. And he did definitely mention the year 1935. Was he sure of the year?
No, he didn't mention the year, but it was when Cordell was Secretary of State under Roosevelt, and the letters I have are dated 1935, and that was when he was in Washington.
Okay.
So that's the only way we know. At the time, neither one of us realized that there was anything that...
We didn't know it was going to be important.
That's right. No reason to remember, you know.
Yes. Okay, and the last question, and then you can leave. Can you describe why you wrote the letter? How that came about?
Myself, I felt somebody should know about this. It's as I grew older, and maybe hopefully got a little more sense in my head. I thought this is something that is very important, and hearing about the Roswell thing and other things, I thought this galaxy we live in, the Milky Way, is huge, and there has to be a lot of life in it. This was my thought, and I thought for that reason someone should know about this. This is a big galaxy, and there are many other galaxies. However, getting from one galaxy to another certainly seems impossible, but from one solar system in this galaxy, it could be possible with the advanced civilizations much more advanced than ours, because we're way out at the edge, and some of those that are more interior might be much more advanced. That was my thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I must tell somebody this.
And so you wrote to...
I forget who I wrote to.
Jones.
Was it the Center for UFO Studies in Chicago?
Hynek? Yeah. I got information on who the person would be from my son, who is a scientist.
Okay.
And a Harvard graduate and a scientist, and he didn't want us to tell it because he he thought we could get into a really jumbled mess, but we were telling the truth.
Yeah.
And the truth always, it doesn't get you in trouble unless you committed a crime, you know.
Okay.
And so anyhow, I just felt this must be told, as because the Roswell thing made me think something is going on. And I think the reason Dad was appointed to this committee in Washington on called World Order, and the thing was that they were afraid that we would be invaded by a lot of these so-called creatures, and that goodness only knows what would happen. And Dad's job around in this area was to calm people down and help people cope. And yes. And find other people who could help, other ministers and whoever could help cope with an invasion from outer space or from one of these other solar systems. And that was why I wrote the letter. I thought, this really needs to be told. Something has happened.
And what has been the reaction since you, this is many years ago you wrote the letter, correct?
I can't remember.
Yes. And what kind of reaction have you gotten in terms of?
Well, very guarded reaction from people, which is understandable. Most people don't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a scientist or a scientific minded, you realize that there has to be a lot of life out there of one kind or another. And a lot of it could be a lot smarter than we are. Most of it probably is, you know. And that's my thought. This ought to be general knowledge, because we might have to, who knows, we might have to defend ourselves. But the great, huge distances make it unlikely.
Yeah.
I don't think we have anything to worry about because of distances. And certainly, I think we have nothing to worry about from other galaxies,
yeah.
But perhaps from ours.
From our own.
But my knowledge is so limited that just knowing about the Roswell thing and then about what my father saw, and he was a very honest man, had all his faculties, and he was also a very intelligent man. Very, very intelligent.
And when did your father pass away?
It's been, let's see now, in 66.
Yeah, I was going to say in the 60s, but I don't remember exactly.
In 66, in February of 66. And it's been a long time now.
Yes.
And he wasn't very old. He got leukemia.
Okay.
And acute leukemia and died from that.
Okay.
I really.
Okay. I appreciate experiences with pilots who had seen Foo Fighters.
Yes, Grant, I did. In my hut, there were several fighter pilots who had been shot down, Spitfire pilots.
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.